This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Bombshell in the courtroom. A man just found guilty of murdering and dismembering a beautiful teen girl, Sade Robinson, after their first date in Milwaukee. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. A Milwaukee man just found guilty of murdering and dismembering a teen girl college student the night of their first date. Maxwell Anderson, charged with first-degree intentional homicide, grew up with a silver spoon in his mouth, now guilty of intentional homicide, dismembering a corpse, arson, hiding a corpse in connection with the death of this incredibly beautiful young girl. The jury convicts on all four counts. We learned during the trial, investigators believe Anderson murdered Sade on their very first date, dismembered her, and spread her remains all around Milwaukee County. Sade last seen alive in Anderson's home. What more do we know about the facts?
Sade's right leg, left foot, torso, and one of her arms were found scattered around Milwaukee. More than a month after her death, a second arm washed up on a Waukegan, Illinois beach. It has now been confirmed as Sade's through DNA testing. Sade's head and right leg are still missing, preventing her family from laying her to rest.
They can't even have a funeral because they don't have all of their daughter. We learn that LA law enforcement is honing in on dating apps. I mean, if dating apps have anything to do with this teen girl's murder and dismemberment, then they need to be outlawed. I don't like saying that, but how many cases do we hear about where women, young ladies, teen girls like Sade go on a date engineered by a dating app and they're never seen alive again? Joining me right now is a very special guest, a woman I now consider a friend, Sheena Scarborough. This is Sade's mother. How do you keep putting one foot in front of the other? I mean, this girl was everything. So smart, had her own little apartment that she paid for by herself, had her own little car, was going to college classes, the whole thing.
Oh, yes, Nancy. This is so challenging daily. I don't know how I'm doing it. I'm walking in Sade's spirit and in her grace. I am her voice. I have to speak and advocate through her for others. This is not something that just like pulled up and happened. I don't know. This is a waking nightmare daily. Every day I wake up, I can't believe what is taking place. I am Sade Robinson's mother. This is very ongoingly tragic. My baby was my everything. She's my light. She's my star. She was so amazingly beautiful, like you stated. She was so independent, self-sufficient. She had her whole life ahead of her. She worked two jobs. She was dedicated. She was strong. Two full-time jobs. The pizza shuttle. She was ranked up to manager. She started working there in the 10th grade, was ongoing, getting promoted. Dollar raises every 6 months. So they wanted her to be manager. She worked at the Wisconsin Club, part-time, the Wisconsin Country Club. She got her little sister a job there. That was her little sister's first job. This has been traumatic and ongoing. She was scheduled. She did receive her Associate of Arts degree in May, Nancy. Everything has been back-to-back since the last time I've seen you. From the Maxwell Anderson that harmed and hurt my baby. I want that individual and his family held fully accountable This is unacceptable behavior.
Ms. Garber, I'm seeing you, and you have definitely, you're wasting away. You just, I can look at you, and you have lost so much weight. You're wasting away. How are you managing to go forward?
I can't sleep, Nancy. I can't eat. I'm doing ongoing, you know, therapy along with my youngest daughter. I have symptoms, physical symptoms. I don't mean to get in depth, but I don't share this a lot. But since this has happened, I'm very empathic. And I've always been like this. I can literally feel the symptoms of what this person did to my daughter. I literally don't move the same way physically. It's a lot of different layers of things going on with my physical health. I can't describe it, but I don't know, Nancy. It's through the grace. It is very challenging.
Guys, joining me, in addition to Miss Sheena Scarborough, who is Sade's mother, who has vowed to be her daughter's voice throughout all of this, we are still on the search for parts of Sade's body, but we are learning that police are focusing now on various dating apps as to how this teen girl met up with a much, much older man, the defendant, his dad, highly, highly successful. His dad has a big local business who employed him briefly before he was let go. Maxwell Anderson, 33 years old. I don't know what he said to her on this dating app to make her think that it was okay to go with him. But we're not only learning about a potential dating app connection, but we're also learning about an alleged CI, a confidential informant, that claims this guy, Maxwell Anderson, told him, the CI, that he was going to lure Sade, take her to the basement, shoot her, and dismember her. Now, who the hey knows something like that and does nothing? But regarding these newly released warrants, listen.
Eight unsealed warrants are giving new insights into the investigation of Sade Robinson's murder. Newly released surveillance images show Sade meeting Anderson at the Twisted Fisherman for their date. The warrants also reveal police are reviewing employment records and surveillance from Victor's nightclub. Anderson reportedly worked at Victor's, a club that one of Sade's co-workers says they frequented. Investigators are trying to determine how Sade met Anderson.
Joining us now, investigative reporter and anchor at Fox 6 Milwaukee, Aaron Maben. Aaron, thank you for being with us. I've got so much evidence is being uncovered right now, specifically as it relates to what we've discovered in those just unsealed search warrants. What have you learned?
Well, I think the search warrants, it's very clear, Nancy. What the search warrants say is that this was a planned situation, according to this informant who came out days after all this kind of was revealed. This person came out afterwards and let investigators know that they went inside Maxwell Anderson's home. They saw three saws in there. They saw tarp in there too. And they had information that this was going to happen. And what's really fascinating, Nancy, is that nothing came out until after the death. That's what a lot of people find really chilling in these unsealed search warrants too. So, you know, a lot of people that we talked
with
are
upset. Wait a minute. Let me understand something. Aaron Maben, yeah, joining us, Fox 6 Milwaukee. So the CI, the friend of the defendant, Maxwell Anderson, goes into Anderson's home and he sees all this before Sade is murdered?
That's what the search warrants say, that this was seen before Sade was murdered. And this CI had information, never came forward. Sade Robinson goes missing. Maxwell Anderson is a prime suspect. And then the CI informs police about what they allegedly saw inside of that home.
Well, you're absolutely correct, Aaron Maben. Listen.
Maxwell Anderson had a sex dungeon in the basement of his West Milwaukee home, according to a law enforcement source. Cops found a sex sling, restraints, and handcuffs. A close friend of Anderson said that on a visit to Anderson's home last year, he noticed a large hole in the ground that was about 5 feet long by 6 foot deep. Anderson said he was working on an underground basement, despite having a large basement in the home already. Neighbors say the basement in the home had small windows that were always covered, so you could not see inside.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
In the last days, guilty. A spoiled brat Milwaukee man fed his whole life with a silver spoon. Guilty. Convicted in the brutal murder and dismemberment of a gorgeous, brilliant young teen girl, college student Sade Robinson. What happened?
This so-called friend, a CI confidential informant, knew that all of this was going to happen. Based on what you're learning from the warrants, Aaron Maben, had Sade, a teen girl, already been targeted as the victim?
You know, what the warrant looks like, Nancy, is that he planned on killing Sade Robinson, according to this search warrant. And again, Maxwell Anderson has not said anything, attorney not saying a thing either. And that's just, you know, what we're reading in here is some pretty chilling stuff. But what's not clear, Nancy, is why exactly she was picked out, why exactly she was targeted. And that's what, you know, family is likely wanting to know, too.
Okay, so from what I'm understanding, he actually targeted Sade specifically. He wasn't going to lure a woman, any woman, to his home, take her down the stairs into the basement, murder and dismember her. It was Sade specifically that he wanted. Listen.
A friend of Anderson's is now working with law enforcement as a confidential informant. The CI tells investigators in early March, Anderson spoke of a plan to lure Sade Robinson to his home, then force her into the basement at gunpoint where he would shoot her, then dismember her body and scatter her remains. The CI says Anderson showed him the basement, where Anderson had taped plastic paint protectors to the walls and floor. The CI says there were three saws in the prepped basement.
Brian Fitzgibbons, help me. Brian Fitzgibbons, Director of Operations for USPA Nationwide Security, who leads a team of investigators often looking for missing people. Brian, did you hear what a reporter with Crime Online just stated? That the CI, talk about a day late and a dollar short, the friend of Anderson's spoke of Anderson's plan to lure Sade specifically. Not just, I'm going to get a woman and I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. It was Sade he wanted. Then to, quote, force her into the basement at gunpoint where he would shoot her and dismember her and scatter the remains. And he had prepped it like a spider with a fly. Anderson taped plastic paint protectors to the walls and floor. What about it?
Nancy, this speaks to the diabolical premeditation that took place here, okay? And it also speaks to the circles that Anderson was running in. The fact that nearly a month before Sade went missing, this confidential informant knew specifically about Anderson's plans, specifically with her, okay? So aside from the evidentiary value of this confidential informant's witness statement, it adds a tremendous amount of color to the life that Maxwell Anderson was leading.
Okay, see, you know what, Fitzgibbons, you're talking in your USPA Nationwide Security Code, all right? Speak regular people talk. What do you mean? What did you just say about the color in which his environment was painted? What are you saying? I think what you're saying, let me just be so bold as to climb out on a limb here, that look at the people he's consorting with, people that you say, hey, I'm going to get this girl, this teen girl, Sade, she's gorgeous, she's brilliant. I'm going to get her and lure her into my basement at gunpoint. force her down there. I'm going to kill her. And then I'm going to dismember her and leave her body parts around town for people to find. And this guy does nothing? Man, I'd have been on my cell phone as soon as I got clear of that house. Is that what you're saying, Fitzgibbons? Speak English to me, man.
That is exactly what I'm saying. So March 5th, this conversation with the confidential informant in Anderson takes place. And he doesn't come forward for well over a month and in still 13 days after Sade was missing. You know, this speaks clearly to the type of people that Anderson was associating with.
But why her? Why did he target this teen girl, this beautiful girl? Why Sade?
I'm coming here today. This is the hardest thing I would ever have to do in my life, to speak Sade's voice. Sade was a beautiful soul. She was an amazing girl. Nancy, everything you spoke was exactly what my daughter exerted. I couldn't have asked for any better daughter. There was things my daughter did that many adults were not even able to accomplish in their lifetimes. The son of a took my daughter from me.
That's Sade's mother, Sheena Scarborough, and she's with us now. Miss Scarborough, thank you for speaking out. I mean, from when we spoke then to now, I was looking at you on camera before we started our program. And when you pull your hair back, I could just see how much weight you have lost. And now when we're learning from these search warrants, that he didn't just plan to pick any woman to murder. He targeted Sade. Why?
Nancy, I don't know why my daughter was chosen to be the voice to speak for individuals in our community in Milwaukee. It's very concerning. Milwaukee is a well-known place for other serial killers known as, you know, Dahmer and other type of situations. I feel very unsafe in Milwaukee right now. I'm concerned, as you stated, your baby's just started school. My baby, her youngest sister, just started school as well today. I'm concerned for my baby, my youngest. It's a feeling, it's an edge, anxiety, an anxious, constant feeling. Knowing that there are serial killers in our community, this could have been any one of our daughters. I don't know why God selected us to be the voice to speak for the other missing and murdered individuals in our community.
Dr. Bethany Marshall, renowned psychoanalyst, joining us out of L.A., author of the book Deal Breaker. You can see her also on Peacock now. Dr. Bethany Marshall at drbethanymarshall.com. Dr. Bethany, why Sade? I'm going to get into the whole dating app thing in just a moment, because this CI, this friend, is blowing me away. He goes to the perp's home, who is a rich, spoiled brat suspect.
That's right.
He's had a silver spoon in his mouth since day one, but even his daddy didn't keep him at the office. He had to let him go. I can only imagine. I can't even stand to look at him. Why Sade? Why did he have to pick a teen girl?
I have a theory about why Sade. Sade is gorgeous, young, successful. She already has her AA, two jobs, her own apartment. She is at the top of the world. And compare her to this loser who can't even hold a job in his own father's company. I bet he was envious of her, kind of like incels, where they want to be with the woman. They envy the woman. They think the woman's above them, but they want to take the woman down. So there's destructive envy. There's destructive hatred. I bet he had a lot of targets, but she just rose to the top in terms of his selection. And this CI, Nancy, I bet we're going to learn that Maxwell Anderson was a part of some underground either drug community or sex community. And there are more people that knew than just the CI. He wasn't just bragging to one person. He was either a part of a BDSM community, a swingers community, some community with some perversion like pedophilia or something that they all held in common.
Hold on.
There's going to be a lot.
Wait.
Yes.
Dr. Bethany, before I speculate or you lead me down the garden path about underground sex clubs, can I talk about what I absolutely know? Because I can't put your speculation, no offense, in front of a jury. I care about probative facts. If I can't get them into evidence, they don't exist to me. But what I can get into evidence is what I have discovered with these search warrants. I'm going to go back to Aaron Maben on that regarding dating apps that he was using and how Sade ends up dead. And it's not the first time this has happened. Listen.
Sydney Loof agrees to meet her Tinder date, Audrey, again tomorrow night, sharing with friends how excited she is. A man is driving when Audrey picks Sydney up, but Sydney still gets in the car. The next day, Sydney misses work and isn't answering her phone. Sydney's friend finds Audrey on Tinder, who police identify as Bailey Boswell. A month later, parts of Sydney's dismembered body are found discarded in 30-gallon trash bags. Trail admits to accidentally strangling Sydney while forcing her to participate in a porn film.
I met her on a Tuesday. I went to take her home, and she asked me to drop her off at a friend's house, so I did so. I gave her my number. We were planning to go to the casino that weekend. I haven't heard from her since.
Footage from inside the unfinished basement that police have called a sex dungeon shows it's in disarray. A large hole has been dug in the concrete floor. A drain in the floor is stuffed with towels, the drain cover marked with evidence numbers. A door without a handle leads to a dark closet, and there are several tables, a chair, and exercise equipment. The mattress of a queen bed frame is flipped on its side, and bedding is tossed over a table in the corner of the room.
Sex dungeon in the defendant's basement. He was digging another dungeon beneath that. The thought of this beautiful girl, Sade Robinson, dying here, being dismembered here, her last moments spent in the basement of a spoiled brat, 33-year-old Maxwell Anderson.
A grim discovery when Sade Robinson's arm was found at a Waukegan beach, her body dismembered and placed in parks around the area for children to find. What a freak. Her 2020 Civic found torched the next day, and video showed the perp, the spoiled brat, Anderson, leaving the scene where the burned car was found. He was arrested 2 days later at a traffic stop. Believe it or not, his lawyer, Tony Cotton, with a straight face, argued during the trial that no DNA links Anderson to the crimes. Wow, I wonder why. Could it be because he torched her car? Cotton did not respond to requests seeking comment after the verdict. Now, we know the perp, Anderson, is facing a mandatory life sentence when he comes up for sentencing. But based on what I know, that's too good for him. These facts are heinous.
With me is Sade's mother, Sheena Scarborough. I don't know if you have seen the footage of that basement. It's filthy. It's dug up. It's covered in debris. And this defendant picked Sade out of all the women in the area to lure her down to that filthy basement to murder her. I just don't understand why her. Have you seen that basement?
It disgusts me, Nancy. My daughter did not deserve this. This is unsurreal. This is freaking unsurreal. Like, I don't know how we were placed in this nightmare by this demon, okay? A demon, and I don't want to go there, but there's no other terminology for individuals that move like this. Sociopaths, psycho, you know, paths, like, type energy. Speaking upon what the individual stated earlier, my daughter was very highly achievable, successful. I don't know what the motive would have been. I don't know how sociopaths and psychopaths think. Like, this is unsurreal, but this is very concerning for the Milwaukee community, all individuals and parents in the community. You need to be concerned about your kids.
You're right.
Be concerned where they're at. Shadi's voice will be heard. And I'm speaking out for all of the other missing individuals, not just the black and brown, but the missing individuals. There are young men. There are other individuals of all colors. We represent all missing individuals that have not been found.
Erin Maben joining me now, investigative reporter and anchor Fox 6 in Milwaukee. I want to talk about how and figure out how he identified Sade. And I'm not quite sure, probatively speaking, why this matters so much to me, that he picked her out. And I'm thinking he left a trail digitally on his computer, on his laptop, on his cell phone. But Victor's bar plays a role in this. And remind me to circle back, because I think there's a similar transaction. A woman that claims she went on a date with him and believes that he drugged her or put something in her drink. Okay, just let's start with that, because I'm wondering, and I'm going to go to medical examiner Dr. Kendall Crowns on whether we can determine anything like that was in Sade's system, even though we don't have all of her body yet. But I think digitally and forensically is very important to prove how the two connected. Not just a matter of my own curiosity, why pick her, but probatively. What can I tell a jury, Erin? What am I going to learn digitally? What footprint did he leave as to how he stalked her? And what part did Victor's bar play in this? Did he work at Victor's bar?
Yeah, we know that he did work at Victor's bar. And that's what we kind of knew from the jump, that he was this guy who worked at different bars, different restaurants around the area. And Victor's was one of those places. It's not clear exactly when exactly Sade Robinson came into contact with Maxwell Anderson at Victor's. But that was part of the story really early on, Nancy, that he was this bartender, this bouncer at Victor's, and kind of well known in that area, in that vicinity too. And it could have been a place, according to investigators, where he met girls, where he interacted with them too. So that's kind of where police are honing in on things. And not only Victor's bar, but, and you touched on this earlier, dating apps are playing a role in all this too, in this digital footprint. According to a search warrant, he had at least four dating apps on his phone. You know, not too unpopular for someone in their 20s and 30s, Nancy, because, you know, the game has changed. People are meeting in person, but they're also meeting on dating apps.
You're right. Brian Fitzgibbons, Director Operations USPA Nationwide Security. Brian, how many cases, and I've told many a jury this, people covet that which they see. Okay, like David and Bathsheba, for Pete's sake. He looks off his roof and there she is. So he has her husband murdered. It's as old as the story can be. And here, there he is, working in that bar, got fired from his daddy's business, and he sees Sade. And she is his target. And he tells his friend, I'm going to get her. Not like I'm going to woo her and I'm going to treat her like a queen. And, you know, one day we'll be a thing. Oh, no. I'm going to get her. I'm going to lure her right here to this house. I'm going to take her down to that basement. I'm going to kill her. Now, that's what I think happened. How can I prove it? How can I prove it, Fitzgibbons?
I think most likely their first interaction was at Victor's. And then we're hopeful that investigators, through these dating apps, through these profiles, are going to find that probative evidence that you're looking for to prove Anderson's targeting, okay, to watch his targeting and see it unfold digitally.
Cops are also honing in on Anderson's dating app activity. A folder in Anderson's home labeled Dating contained handwritten logins to Bumble, Hinge, OkCupid, and Tinder. Those notes also contained women's names and information about them. A woman who went on a date with Anderson in February is convinced he drugged her drink.
Is there a similar transaction? Are there other women out there that interacted with this guy, Maxwell Anderson, that lived to tell the tale?
Or are there other women who became his murder victims? We're trying to piece together everything we know. Joining me right now, Dr. Kendall Crowns, renowned chief medical examiner, Tarrant County, lecturer at the esteemed Burnett School of Medicine at TCU, Texas Christian University. Dr. Kendall Crowns, thank you for being with us. And let me hit you right off the top. Have you ever analyzed a dismemberment case?
Yes, over the years, I've analyzed several dismemberment cases in my career.
How will we be able to tell whether these injuries to Sade happened pre-mortem or after death post-mortem?
So there's a couple ways to tell. Usually when someone is alive and they're shot or stabbed, there will be hemorrhage into the tissues surrounding the injuries. And after the heart stops beating, these tissues won't have the hemorrhage in them if you cause further damage. So if you're cutting a limb off or something like that, the cut area will be bloodless. So that's one way you can tell it. The only problem is when those limbs get thrown into water or get rained on, something like that, the water can actually wash the blood out of the tissues. So it will make it kind of hard to tell if it happened pre-mortem or post-mortem. But the one main thing is you can look for hemorrhage in the tissues.
Hold on right there. I got to understand what you just said. Dr. Kendall Crowns, you said to tell if the injuries, the dismemberment, occurred before death or after death, that you would look for hemorrhaging at the site of the sever, where the limb was cut, where the leg was cut off. Now, what does that mean to
me?
Correct. Did, at that point, did she bleed? If she did not bleed, it was post-mortem after death because the heart was no longer pumping. Is that what you just said?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, then you said if the body parts, such as a leg or an arm, had been in water or rained upon, it would destroy that evidence. In other words, you won't be able to see, even under a microscope, if there had been hemorrhaging, in other words, bleeding. Is that what you just said?
Yes, that's correct. The water will wash out the blood out of the tissues as it's in a watery environment for a long period of time.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Bombshell verdict in the courtroom. A spoiled brat convicted in the brutal murder and dismembering of a teen college student, Sade Robinson.
Many of these body parts of this gorgeous girl were left out in the open. Erin Maben, very quickly, investigative reporter, Fox 6, Milwaukee. Her body parts of this girl were left all over town. And that was his plan. He told the CI, his friend, like the devil can have a friend, he tells his friend that he's going to lure her, take her down into the basement, i.e. sex dungeon, looks like a filthy basement to me, kill her, and then dismember her and leave her body parts all over town. That was his original plan, Erin Maben. Isn't that true?
And Nancy, when you look at the map that we're looking at right now, that's something, because you have to realize that those body parts were left for other people to find. So people walking on the beach and they just find a severed arm. They're walking through their neighborhood near a playground, Nancy, and they are finding body parts too. So yeah, according to the CI, that was a goal, to dismember the body, sprinkle it throughout town. We know from police that there's surveillance evidence of him on different bus routes, him all over town, and they have pieced it together, like this right here with the backpack. They've pieced it together that he was just dumping body parts all over the place. One part even left the state of Wisconsin. It went to Illinois. It went washed down the shore to Illinois, where someone else found that body part.
Maben, you're actually making my stomach physically hurt right now. You're actually making my stomach hurt. Hold on, Dr. Kendall Crowns, because I've got to talk to you about how difficult it is to actually dismember someone, and how I'm telling you, this ain't this guy's first time at the rodeo, all right? Because he planned this whole thing out. Hold, Dr. Crowns. Dr. Bethany Marshall, you got to help me right now. Because this was his plan all along, to get this girl, not any girl, Sade, as I said, the jewel in the crown, the gorgeous girl sitting at his bar at Victor's. He gets her. And all along, he told his friend up front he's going to get her, lure her, take her in the basement, at gunpoint, kill her and dismember her and put her body parts all over town. What is that? Why would he put this girl's body parts where other people can find them?
You know, what's interesting, Nancy, is he doesn't seem to be scattering her remains in order to not be ID'd. He's scattering them because he wants to have power over the community. He wants to terrify and terrorize everybody.
This is a guy. Yes, I don't even know what you're saying. He wanted to have power over the community. What?
Terrify the community.
Yeah, okay. I can tell you right now, that's not what happened. I'm not a shrink.
Okay, what do you think?
But I know he didn't do this to have power over the community. I've never even heard anything like that.
Hmm. But this reminds me of Richard
Ramirez.
He did
it because he is a freak. He is a devil straight from hell. That's why he did it. But there's got to be, most killers, Bethany, they want to hide the body. They bury it. They put it in the ocean. They weight it down with cement bricks like Scott Peterson did Lacey. This guy left her remains in public parks for children to find. Now, shrink that. Focus,
well,
Bethany.
I think somehow that was sexually exciting to him. Just like the sexual sadism you and I often talk about, where the perpetrator inflicts cruelty in order to increase sexual arousal, that this is just prolonging the crime, and it's sort of exciting to scatter these parts all over the community and to imagine what their reactions will be. This is a little guy who can't get a job at his own father's store. He's small in life. He's small in stature. He's small psychologically. And this is the only way he can get excitement, is this form of thrill seeking. It actually reminds me, Nancy,
hold
when
on,
you said,
hold on, Dr. Bethany. I got to go to Miss Scarborough. Miss Scarborough, just the thought of this devil, after what he did to Sade, then taking her body part and laying it, what, on a kid's slide at the playground and somehow enjoying that? I don't understand how anybody can be so evil. And he's not crazy. He's not crazy. He's sane.
It's a sick son of a... I'm sorry. Excuse my language. I can't... This is... I don't even know how I'm present to be able to be here and discuss these things with you, but... Again, my community needs to be aware and they need to know what's going on. They need to be watching out for their kids. Look, what type of individual does this? Why would you harm my baby? She hurt nobody. She was angelic. She put out good energy. She helped others. She was there for the community. She was there for the elders, the young people, her peers. She was constantly giving back. There is something deeper into this, but the truth is going to be told. We are worthy for a jury, a trial jury. I want justice for Sade. I want the truth to be told.
Now we are learning that this spoiled brat, Maxwell Anderson, age 33, working part-time when he can pick up a job, turned his cell phone off. Wow, sounds a lot like Brian Koberger. At the same time, Sade was murdered. Let me go very quickly to Dr. Kendall Crowns before I get off on the cell phone and what it means that coincidentally he turned his phone off at the exact time Sade was killed. Dr. Kendall Crowns, how difficult is it to dismember a human body? I mean, this was his plan all along. He told the CI that, and he did it.
So it depends on how you dismember the individual. If you cut at joint spaces, like along the wrist or the elbow or the shoulder, you can actually pull the limb off quite easily. But if you start cutting in the mid-shaft of the bone itself, it's very hard to get through the bone. So if you know what you're doing, you can dismember an individual quite quickly. But if you're focusing on...
Wait, if you know what you're doing, did you just say that? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Did you just say, if you know what you're doing, you can dismember a human very quickly? Okay, well, let's just go. Let me just, again, go out on a limb and pretend. This is his first time dismembering someone. How would he know what he's doing?
Well, if he has any background in hunting or cooking or anything like that, where he's worked with chickens, it's, if you understand where the joint spaces are, you can dismember an individual quite quickly. But again, if you don't understand that and you start,
what do you mean by quickly? I think you and I are in two different time-space continuums. What do you mean you can dismember a body relatively quickly?
Again, you can take the, if you go for the joint spaces, you can take each arm off each.
What is quickly? What is quickly to Dr. Kendall Crowns? What does that mean to you? How quickly can you dismember?
Under an hour.
We're not talking about Dexter. It takes an hour for one episode of Dexter. And that's start to finish. Alpha, omega, soup to nuts. You're telling me a body can be dismembered by an amateur in an hour?
Well, by an amateur, it'd probably take over an hour, maybe longer, maybe several hours. Again, it's just what is their knowledge base for taking apart limbs.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with what you just said. Dr. Bethany Marshall, the dismemberment of this little girl was part of his fantasy.
Yes,
it was. I bet you he dragged it out. The placing of the body parts on the kid's slide. It's almost more than I can take in. I hate to even say it in front of Ms. Sheena.
Nancy, I didn't want to say this in front of Mrs. Robinson, and I don't want to be offensive, but this was a sexually motivated crime. This is a beautiful young woman, and torturing her, dragging this out, dismembering her, all of those acts of cruelty were to enhance his sexual arousal. But Nancy, then placing the body parts around, shocking other people. It's the element of shock that made him sexually excited. So this guy is just prolonging the crime, and he probably built up to it for a long, long time, even in terms of the dismembering. I would look at his computer and see if he Googled how to do that, because he was already planning to do it.
Now it's a matter of sentencing. Can't these sentences be stacked? Life plus 20 plus 20 plus 20, life for the murder, 20 for the arson, 20 for tampering with the corpse, and so on and so on. I want to make sure he never sees the light of day again. We wait as justice unfolds. And God bless the family of Sade Robinson. Goodbye, friend. This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.